Habit Manager tool for power, healthy, and passionate living. I'm Kimberly Bloom, your host. My guests are Dana Dimitri and Robin Thompson, authors of Eat, Live, Thrive Diet, a lifestyle plan to rev up your midlife metabolism. Dan and Robin, welcome.
Thanks for having
us. Kimberly. We're so happy to be here.
So in reading your book, I just was curious to ask you, was there a moment or a particular reason that you came together to write this book?
Well, Kimberly, I'll start. This is Dana. I would say we both come, you know, from our own life of experience with the battle of whether it's food or the bulge and fitness and all that, and with our own stories. But Robin and I here now in our, you know, our midlife years, she's 52 and I'm 66, we both have just this passion to stay fit and stay as youthful as possible and as reasonably lean, and recognizing that so many women, as they age, 45, 55, 65 on, kind of give up and think, you know, I'll never have the same fitness, or I'll never be as lean as I was in my 30s or 40s. And we know from experience that's not true if we have the right approach, and it's a little different as we age. And we certainly have some of our own battles that we went through, and we share those stories in the book.
Wonderful. So, even in my own journey, and I'm sure a lot of other women would want to know, and by the way, you guys look great, why does our bodies change? You know, have you ever looked at that, or why is it that we, as we age, we don't have the ability to burn calories, or our metabolism basically gives up the ghost? You know, what are some things of, have you figured out kind of like why those things are happening in our bodies, and what is it with your plan that can actually, you know, really definitely rev up our metabolism?
I can address that. I'll go ahead on this question. There's actually several reasons, Kimberly. One of them, obviously, is happening for everyone, which is as we age, we lose muscle, and the more muscle that we have, the more calories we burn. So it's just it's a natural progression of the aging process. But in addition to that, a couple other things. One is as we age, our carbohydrate threshold diminishes. It declines. Even starting as early as 30 years old, we are not able to break down and utilize the carbohydrates as efficiently as we were in our younger years, through our teens and our 20s. And then additionally, especially for women, but men as well, we have hormone changes going on, not just reproductive hormones, but of course those are fully changing, especially for women. Men experience that as well. And those hormone issues definitely will make a difference in our ability to keep that metabolism the same. So there's all these different things going on, and it is a perfect storm for gaining weight and not being able to keep your metabolism as high. But there are things that Dan and I have both found, because we were struggling with all of these areas, that you can do to overcome those things and keep your metabolism high and stay reasonably lean and healthy as well.
And in addition to that, Kimberly, we have found that many women develop food sensitivities as they age. Not allergies. We're not speaking about specific food allergies, but these sensitivities that are not only holding them back from weight loss, but causing maybe inflammation in their bodies, digestive issues, skin issues. And so as we help them unravel that mystery, in a kind of a simple approach, but it's really effective, they start getting these aha moments of, oh my goodness, this, if I had taken that food out of my diet years ago, you know, I would feel better. I would lose weight more readily. And so we're helping them navigate. It's really not a one-size-fits-all program, although we take everybody kind of through the same process. What ends up being their eating plan can be very different.
That's very good. I mean, I've experienced those things myself, and definitely there are, even in my own life, foods that I've come to realize that I just cannot eat because they don't help my body.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
But I will say, too, and I know of a lot of women, and like I said, even my own personal journey, and probably over the last I would have to say 5 years, been inundated by a lot of different lifestyle methods that you need to use to lose weight. You know, some folks say that, you know, if you want to lose weight, you need to eat every 3 hours. Some say eat, you know, low-fat foods or eat lots of protein. How does your book bring clarification for a lot of us that have been very confused by a lot of different plans?
Oh, we get that. I'll start and I'll let Robin maybe add to it. I would say that we will not call ourselves, first of all, we're definitely not a low-fat diet. We do not call ourselves even a low-carbohydrate diet. But what we do focus on is what we consider controlled carbohydrates. That's one aspect. It's about whole foods, healthy foods, getting both inflammatory foods and foods that we're sensitive to out of our diet so our body can truly thrive. But it's not so much like, okay, we are just against all starches. We're not at all. So it's helping everybody navigate that. And I will say, before I turn it over to Robin, we also work with an amazing group of advisors, primarily Dr. Mark Stengler, who's a naturopath, really a best-selling author, an avid researcher, and Patty Milligan that has a PhD in nutrition. And we run everything through them in terms of we're not looking for fads. We're looking for what is really solid nutrition. And, of course, nutrition can be controversial because everybody has an opinion. Mm-hmm. But we're really trying to find that solid place that is most effective for most people. Robin, you want to add to that at all?
Well, I do want to just add that, like Dana had said earlier, our program, even though people are going through the same process, it is not one size fits all. And I think that what is so unique is as you go through the different phases of our diet, each person is discovering their food sensitivities, their carbohydrate threshold, and it's going to be different and unique for each person. And I think part of that discovery is so liberating because people are finding out what is true for their body. Nobody really likes somebody to tell them, you should eat this way, or you should cut fats out, or you should eat more fat, or you should. I always say nobody likes to be should on. And mm-hmm. this way they're finding their truth that is particular to their body because everyone's different. And when you discover for yourself, one, what foods are how foods literally can energize you or they can make you very fatigued, and you are seeing those discoveries, what foods can actually make you bloated or make you feel less puffy, what foods make you have digestion issues or not, you're just having this incredible, you're like your body's a science experiment, and it's revealing to you, oh my gosh, this is what's good for my body. I need more carbohydrates than I thought I did, or I need less carbohydrates than I thought I did. And that's just an, you know, idea of how that goes.
Very good. Yeah, that's so true. Let me change subject or change the directions just a little bit. So in your book, you also talk about the power of self-talk. Can you elaborate on this subject and how that those changes, you know, what changes can be made in a person?
Absolutely. It's one of our favorite subjects because, you know, knowing what to do is really important, but knowing how to get yourself to do it consistently is essential. That's why so many people get stuck. They get stuck sometimes in changing their eating habits. They get stuck maybe not developing a consistent fitness plan because really our most dominant thoughts win. And so when we look at why am I struggling? Why do I keep on hitting the same speed bump? Or now it's become a brick wall. And after I get on a diet or I get on a fitness program and I go for about a week or two, then all of a sudden I fall off the wagon and I just wallow in feeling like a failure. Well, so often we're telling ourselves these thoughts, these lies really. I always fail. I can't do that. I have no self-control. I can't stop eating, you know, sweets. All these things that really they're not true because you can't. I always say I've never seen a cookie jump in someone's mouth. You do have more control than you think. But if mm-hmm. you believe you don't, and this is a biblical principle, you know, this is how God designed our brains and it's a biblical principle. So we actually dedicate two chapters to this whole subject of perspective, and how we talk to ourselves, what God says about how we take our thoughts captive, and the fourth step to actually change our habits from the inside out, which actually basically number one is identify the lies we believe. Number two, take our thoughts, take those thoughts captive. Stop dwelling on them. Replace them, basically erase them by replacing them with truth, which can be just a simple, impactful statement to a scripture. We use a lot of healthy self-talk recordings that we've created specifically for health and wellness and fitness and all that. And then the last step is the most, well, it's not the most important. They're all important, but it can't happen. The change can't occur without step number four, which is repeat, repeat, repeat. You've got to be constantly telling yourself that truth, that impactful statement. And in my own life, Kimberly, I was actually out of control bulimic in college. In nursing school, I was binging and purging five times a day. I had such an unhealthy relationship with food. I thought I would never have freedom and victory in this area of my life. And it is this practice that literally changed my life, not just in health and wellness, but in many areas of my life. So we're pretty passionate about that.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people there listening that could identify with what you're having to say. Is there anybody, and, you know, since you've written this book, and you know, I'm sure you've talked to many, many people about this subject, is there maybe a story you think of in someone's life that, you know, just telling them how that turned them around or something that you could share there?
Deanna,
I think the client that lost almost, was it 100 pounds that listened to the
Katie.
Self-talk recordings? Yes, tell that story because that's such a great story.
Yeah. Well, Katie was a young gal. She was only 24 when I first met her, and she was over 100 pounds overweight. Her blood pressure was high. Her cholesterol was high. Her doctor was actually really fearful for her health. He told her, if you don't start losing weight, you know, you're going to die really young. It was just, she was on the brink of diabetes. And she started through some coaching I was doing with her. And I saw her every week for about 8 weeks. But, of course, a person doesn't lose 100 pounds in 8 weeks. She called me about a year later. And I had recordings back then that were in tapes. Now we're, you know, CDs and downloads. But we had tapes. And she said, Dana, I haven't talked to you for forever. I lost 100 pounds. And I wore out those tapes, those healthy self-talk recordings, and I just wonder if you have any more. I said, well, we now do CDs. But yes, and she said, all the coaching you did on food and eating was really, really helpful. But it was essential for me to renew my mind and to erase and replace those old negative programs. And it took her time, but over that year, that coupled with a good eating plan, she shed that 100 pounds, and it changed her life, of course. And we hear this from, we've been coaching women for, between Robin and I, you know, each of us over 25 years, we've been coaching women. And we hear again and again, and in our current coaching, we have something called the Eat, Lift, Thrive Academy. They remind us all the time how powerful it is in changing their lives. We're encouraging them to implement these practices, and it is making a difference because they're sustaining their weight loss because they're paying attention to that aspect in addition to healthy eating and staying fit.
These recordings sound great. And you said there's CDs now, and where can our listeners go to get, you know, get them, purchase them for themselves?
Yes, we have on our main website, leanhealthyageless.com, we have a little store. It just says shop, and it's in our weight loss resources. They're all available as either CDs or MP3 downloads. Some people don't even have to worry about a CD. They can download it to any of their devices. They can also find links to that and a couple samples for free on our support website for the book, which is eatlivethrivediet.com. So it's just the name of the book, eatlivethrivediet.com, and they can actually check out a couple of those.
Okay, great. So how do in our previous talk here, you were talking about how just even you were going over some scripture, but how do you connect your faith with your fitness and healthy lifestyle, you guys personally?
Well, I'll speak to this, and we haven't talked about my story and kind of where I came from, but I will say that I was relatively lean for the majority of my life, and then, of course, like many, many women in my late 30s, early 40s, I started gaining weight. And it was really frustrating, Kimberly, because here I'm coaching people for weight loss, and what I'm teaching them to do is not working for me anymore. Mm-hmm. And I felt very out of integrity and all of that. So I started to implement many of the things that are now in the Eat, Thrive diet book. But through all of this, Dan and I call them my hunger games, because about 10 years ago, all of a sudden, I developed this incredibly insatiable appetite. It felt like it happened overnight, because all of a sudden, I'd never been that way. And, you know, I could go out to dinner and eat the whole plate, and in a half an hour, I was hungry again. And this is going on for 10 years. So there's been a lot of frustration and a lot of, you know, just crying out to God many times. But, you know, my scripture that I fall back on is, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. So in that, because I can't say that I am perfect and not giving in to that hunger all the time. I do the best that I can. I rely on God for his strength when I'm really struggling in that area. And many times I just look up, focus on that scripture, and I'm able to overcome my hunger temptation. But I'm not perfect. I don't always overcome it. But as a general rule, I'm better and better and better at it every single day. And so that's kind of what I have fallen back on. That's my scripture that I, you know, focus on. And then I have some other statements that I use. I'm rarely hungry. I'm easily satisfied. I'm rarely hungry. I'm satisfied with small amounts of food. So these are just my statements and my scriptures that I use personally in my life.
And I will say, Kimberly, you know, we really point people in the book toward the foundational truths from God's word. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And so when we help people realize, people of faith realize, you know, how I eat, how I care for my body, exercise, and just stay healthy, it's a form of worship. And I think mm-hmm. We have to live in what we call the grace zone. We can really beat ourselves up and think, you know, here I am, a woman of faith, and what's wrong with me? Either expecting God to completely fix us, you know, like I prayed and he didn't fix me, or I always fail, he must be so mad at me. And we always talk about God does care about the journey, and he delights in the scripture says he delights in each small step that we take. And okay. So we point people back to the reality of who God is, how he made us, but he's cultivating in us character and persistence and all those things. And sometimes we have a beautiful client, and she's still with us. She has lost over 30 pounds, but she's still got ways to go. And she told us some years ago in this process of coaching her body, soul, and spirit, she said, you know what I'm realizing? God is doing more than just helping me lose weight. He's teaching me things in this battle of the flesh that we all contend with on some level. He's teaching me things, and he's growing me in other ways than just, I just want fast weight loss. And so kind of have to trust him, or not kind of, we have to trust him in the process. And so I think refocusing, recentering on God's word, what it says, and the grace that he gives us, I think is really important to have victory in this journey.
Mm-hmm. And even not to, you know, like the Bible says, don't despise small beginnings. So a lot of even just our small steps.
Yeah, that's
steps.
Beautiful. Exactly.
One thing that I found very interesting in your book, because sometimes I've naturally done it, but I've never maybe I would say, you know, set out to do it. And that was the intermittent fasting. So how might, you know, and I guess I was curious because my work schedule is pretty crazy. So I'm asking these actually for myself, these questions. So the fasting, how might this work for someone, you know, like me? You know, I get up at 5:30, I get to work by 8, and a lot of times I'm not home until 7. What would that look like, you know, in my day, you know, for me to fast? And is there maybe a better time of day to fast? You know, is it before, you know, I read in your book, maybe stop eating by 5 or 6 and not eating until later. But I want you to tell me, about this fasting?
Well, first of all, what we recommend for most women is that they fast generally for about 12 hours every single day as a, kind of as a baseline. There's actually studies out there that when you fast for 13 hours minimum, so we actually want you to bump it up if you can, but 12 hours is a good baseline. It actually reduces your risk or your recurrence risk for breast cancer. So there's a lot of benefits to even those shorter term fasts. And, you know, that's really easy. That means you stop eating at 6 o'clock at night, you have dinner, and you don't eat again until after 6 o'clock in the morning. And almost, I mean, anybody can do that. Doesn't put a lot of stress on your body. Very easy to do. And, of course, when you're reducing the amount of food you're taking, we like people to stop eating 2 to 3 hours before they go to bed. That's helpful as well. In fact, for one of our clients, just doing that alone, she was cutting out about 600 calories worth of nibbles that she really didn't need and was able to drop weight very easily just from implementing that small step, because it's amazing how much food you'll eat before you go to, you know, if you're nibbling at night, snacking in front of the TV. But for somebody that is easing into what we call the Eat, Live, Thrive or the ELT eating cycle, we have them start with 12 hours as a baseline and then bump it up as you are kind of growing into it. So then a couple days a week, you might stretch that 12 hours to 14 hours. So that's pretty easy. Not eat for after 6. Don't eat till 8 o'clock. And then maybe a few days a week, you try to go 15 or 16 hours. So if you're not eating after 6, you would maybe not eat until 10. Now, if you're getting home later, let's say you don't eat till 8 o'clock or your last bite of food is 8 o'clock, well, that's really easy. So start with 12 hours. That means you wouldn't eat till 8 the next day. But if you want to bump it to 14 or 16 hours, you wouldn't eat till 10 or maybe you wouldn't eat till 12. 12, if you ate after lunch or you didn't eat that morning and you decided your first meal was going to be at noon, and it doesn't have to be breakfast foods, it can be any kind of food, but that took you to 16 hours. And you may want to do that maybe 2, 3, 4 times a week. We really tell people to listen to their body as they ease into this eating cycle or the fasting portion, because most people can fast pretty simply, their bodies can handle it. But fasting does put a little bit of stress on the body. So we are always asking people to just pay attention to how they feel. If your goal, let's say you had your last bite of food at 8 o'clock last night and your goal is to do a 16-hour fast until, so you don't want to eat till after 12, but by, you know, 10:30, you're hitting the wall and you're starting to get a headache or you're starting to get shaky, we say stop. Break your fast. Eat right now. We don't want you to push through that and, you know, put so much stress on your body that you don't feel good. And by all means, if you have like a very important meeting, you know, a high-level presentation, that may not be the best day to do your longer-term fasting.
Okay, that sounds, I think you're right. It all is very doable. Well, our time is coming to a close, and I have actually more questions, but I guess I'm just going to have to wait till another time to ask them. But I would encourage all our readers to pick up Eat, Live, Thrive Diet book and bring in a new lifestyle plan to rev up all of our midlife metabolism. I would encourage all the listeners to pick one up, and it's a really, you know, my husband, so we get a lot of different books that come in, and this was one that I really was interested in picking up, and it's a very good read. Well, we've been listening to Faith and Fitness Magazine's podcast with authors Dana Dimitri and Robin Thompson of the book Eat, Live, Thrive Diet. Well, thank you, Dana and Robin. Thank you very much for spending some time with us this evening.
It was a pleasure.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Well, go to Faith and Fitness Magazine at faithandfitness.net for more nutrition and lifestyle content. I'm Kimberly Bloom for Faith and Fitness Magazine. Thank you.